Howdy, folks, and welcome to the January 14th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I'm Uncle Bill.
I'm the Creep Kentuckian. How's everybody?
Oh, I'm all right.
All right. Coming in here looking like you fucking Michael Douglas, but I think you're a hot shot.
I am now officially a ball and a shot caller.
Let me tell you something. Dead Pit Radio, Jess knows this, don't you?
Yeah.
We're the ballers, the shot callers, and the creators of the whole fucking game.
That's why I was dressed like that. I just got back from a horologist board meeting. That's how we dress.
Yeah, I'm the triple crown baller and shot caller.
All right.
Yeah, I've got three belts that says so. How you doing, buddy? I ain't seen you since we did the show last week.
Well,
what kind of a bullshit friend are you?
He's going to say that shit and take a big drink.
Yeah,
well, the thing is, I don't know if you've noticed, but the weather's kind of been shitty.
It has.
And because
actually,
of that,
we canceled an interview we were going to actually have for this show, but reschedule it for this coming Saturday. So we will have an announcement by the weekend.
We better do something quick, dude, because I hear it's supposed to snow and shit next week as well.
Snows on Monday. Big snow on Monday again. So,
God damn it.
That's kind of shitty. But, yeah, we were scheduled to do an interview with a particular person, which I'm sure is going to go fine when we do it.
He's kind of a big shot.
So the replacement is, of course, the Crippler Ken Daniels from Fright Night Film Fest. We're going to have him on a little bit later, and he's going to unveil the guest of honor for Fright Night 2011 in Louisville, Kentucky. The hotel, it's actually a homecoming, Uncle Bill, because I guess it would be 5 years ago this year, the very first Fright Night Film Fest we ever attended, I think it was a Holiday Inn, they're having it back at that same hotel again.
Here's the thing, too. I've heard a lot of rumors, a lot of speculation about who it's going to be. I think everybody is really excited. It might be Sal Lizard.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. We'll talk to Ken about that here in a little bit. Sal Lizard is kind of, you know, his cinema wasteland commitments probably limit him from doing a lot of shows. But
yeah. Well, at least it's Ron Bonk. I mean, it's got to be one of two.
We don't want to let the Dead Pit alumni, you know, leave him hanging. So we'll let him know here in a little bit. But we aren't going to have a review portion because we didn't get to exchange movies.
No.
Although I can give you a little sneak peek at the stuff we'll be reviewing next week, because I'm going to give you one of them tonight in case it snows. I actually took a look at the new Toe Tag movie, Uncle Bill. I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm not even going to attempt it.
Well, okay.
Yeah, it stars Camille Keaton.
On a side note, though, and we don't have to review this, and we probably never will because I actually had to buy it, but if you get a chance to buy the Blu-ray of House of a Thousand Corpses, there's a new two-pack with the Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses on Blu-ray. And the friggin' House of a Thousand Corpses looks amazing.
Yeah.
I think that we'd both agree
on
that.
Well, we might talk about that a little bit. I mean, we ain't gonna have a review portion, so. And I did watch some stuff. I guess we could talk about some of the stuff that we watched in place of the review portion. Maybe we could have a new section called Stuff That I've Watched Recently.
But you know what, though? The thing I noticed about that movie more so on Blu-ray for some reason was just what a fucking mess, like, the last 20 minutes of that movie are.
I seriously forgot how messed up the last part of that movie
is. I swear, it looked like that motherfucker just tried to do everything he could think of at the end of that movie.
I think, no, towards the end of it, he was like, well, do I want to go this way, or do I want to go that way? I could go this way, but he's like, nah, let's just fucking do everything.
Let's do everything we can.
That movie always really scared the shit out of me every time I watched it. I remember the first time I watched it, I was really afraid, and the second time. But then it's been so long since I've actually watched the movie all the way through, and we were watching it last night. And I think what the problem is that I get through the first half of it, and it really freaks me out to the point where I don't want to keep watching it because I really freak out, and I forget how it ended, and then we watched it last night, and then I remembered how it ended, and it wasn't really all that there for me. I kind of forgot why I was so afraid of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because he did such a really good job through the first half of the movie that, like you were saying, that it falls apart at the end, that I it really takes away from it. But that first half of the movie is really good.
Yeah. But we'll talk, we might talk a little bit more about House of a Thousand Corpses later on. And I actually watched the Blu-ray of North by Northwest.
Oh, you did?
This weekend. And we might talk about some of that shit. It'd be something different. I mean, I know we're not doing actual reviews or anything, so. But we do have news to get into, so we don't have a whole lot of it. And the more I'm looking, like, you know, the whole idea of the format change, and this week might have been a rarity or something, was to, you know, incorporate more genres, news and stuff like that. And there just wasn't much. There wasn't much of any, like, there was actually more horror this week than there was anything else, so it's mainly horror. It's back to our old format, Uncle Bill.
That's great.
People can quit bitching.
I don't know. Is anybody really bitching, though?
I think people are just like, any kind of change is bad for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, let's continue.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about Dario Argento's Deep Red coming out officially on Blu-ray disc, April 26th, from Blue Underground. The 1975 classic will feature the uncensored English language version of the film, while the Blu-ray will include that track along with the Italian director's cut. So the prints of the film come with new transfers and original negatives in 235-1 widescreen with DTF, EF 6.1, and Dolby Digital 5.1 surround EX. The original mono soundtracks on the DVD, and along with the other soundtracks on Blu-ray. And the specs include interviews with Argento, co-scripter Bernardino Zappone, and composers Goblin. U.S. and Italian trailers, Goblin Profondo Rosso music video, Demonia Profondo Rosso music video, which is, Demonia is like, Claudio Simonetti's new band.
Who's releasing this?
Blue Underground.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
That's killer.
Yeah, the synopsis, like, they've got it here, but the movie really didn't have much of a synopsis, let's be honest.
No.
I mean, it's like a murder mystery, sort of, but...
It's like every other Argento movie. It's like a retard wrote the dialogue. And
yeah, I really, as far as the visuals in Deep Red, though, I think, like, nobody really talks about it, but there is, like, one scene, and I've talked about this... I don't know why the fuck it's so scary, but like, I remember when I first saw it, I was literally like, oh my, cause it was like, that movie's really slow starting out, and then like, you're there, but you're like, what's the big deal with this movie? Then like, that particular scene with the little puppet on the tricycle, it's just the what, like the way it comes to, and I think it had to inspire the Saw dummy in that scene too. It's just really, it's kind of terrifying.
The Saw dummy's a big fag compared to that thing, though. Like, they ought to have a race between that Saw dummy and the Deep Red dummy and a, like, tricycle thing. Seriously, yeah, there is a lot of really good visuals in that movie, though. Like, not to give anything about the movie away, but there's a lot of designs and the way they did the interior designs of all the buildings and the color schemes and stuff that are really, really amazing. I mean, you've never seen that kind of stuff.
Argento hired a pretty good interior designer for that movie.
Yeah, that was Claudio Fagasso.
My name is Claudio DeGrassi.
Claudio DeGrassi.
Give me some baklava. I thought it'd be funny. At Horror Hound coming up, I could actually bring Dario Argento some baklava.
I think you were saying that, but baklava, this is a Middle Eastern, isn't it?
Yeah, he doesn't.
Doesn't
know.
Matter.
Oh, it's freaking good as hell.
He'd probably be like, oh, baklava!
You just want to hear him say baklava.
Yeah, it's a treat. It doesn't matter what the, you know, that guy will think I'm Middle Eastern.
I want to make baklava.
Would you?
Yeah.
All right, Scream Blu-rays. I'm going to let you do the other Blu-ray announcement because you've been waiting your whole life to do that one.
Ooh!
But Fangoria are apparently reporting that the Weinsteins have entered into a partnership that will see Scream 4 come through Anchor Bay Entertainment, which will be probably the first decent thing Anchor Bay Entertainment's released on Blu-ray in about a year.
They did Evil Dead.
And then It says no release date as of yet, but the Scream trilogy has been sold to Blockbuster Mexico, which have advertised September release. There's a fucking Blockbuster Mexico?
I have no idea. What?
I guess. So I'm guessing like maybe a Blockbuster and do they have a magazine or something in Mexico? Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know. I've never heard of Tale of
Well, I think that Blockbuster is going out of business here in America because of Netflix and probably Redbox.
It's so it's huge in Mexico.
I think it's pretty big
in Mexico. It's like Menudo in Mexico.
Yeah. Like that's pretty much shipped like over to Mexico
where
now.
Mexico still has like their most popular shoes, Adidas or something.
Yeah.
Like,
and
or Puma.
What do Mexicans like to drink? What was that?
Pacifico.
Oh, that's right.
No, they want some tequila or something sweet.
Pacifico.
Give me a Pacifico.
So, the other Blu-ray, which is very bizarre, since we were just talking about this last week, and I believe Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, they must know a thing or two about a thing or two.
Hit things!
They must have been listening in last week, because we were like, alright! Yeah! Yeah! Bring out Stand By Me on Blu-ray, and they're like, hey, let's bring it out. I haven't seen any press release on this. It all comes from Amazon.com. They have it available March the 22nd. And it's up for pre-order right now. I don't know what's on it or anything like that. But
Collie, that's pretty close to your birthday in Hawaii.
Oh,
there, like, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Right, buddy. How you like that?
So. I think that's the one movie. We just talked about that recently, about how all those Rob Reiner movies and stuff that are out on DVD or out on Blu-ray, and that one's not out on Blu-ray, and that's probably like his most beloved movie.
Yeah, but now it's coming out, so hopefully they'll do it. They'll do it justice with a lot of special features and goodies.
Let's see here. I don't want to talk about fucking Park Chan-wook. I don't give a shit about him.
Buddy, Park Chan-wook, son. He's making a movie with the read that. It's killer.
Okay. Park Chan-wook's new movie is already complete and hitting Korean theaters for a brief run later this month. Oh, fuck, really? Korean theaters this month? Oh, we gotta go. The name of the movie is Paramanjang.
Poontang.
Poontang. Poontang Boomerang.
Poontang Jang.
And it's shot entirely on an iPhone 4.
Oh, good lord.
Isn't that killer?
God, I'm an idiot. It's
like an advertisement for an iPhone 4 or something.
No, I mean, it really is. It says, according to Park, who spoke to the Korean press following the screening of the film, from hunting for a film location, shooting auditions, to doing a documentary on the filming process, everything was shot with the iPhone 4. We went through all the same filmmaking processes, except that the camera was small. Guy's fucking master of the understatement. Paramanjang appears to be something of a fable, characteristically droll and lightly horrifying tale of a fisherman who catches the body of a dead woman. I'll leave it at that. There's so much wrong with that, though, from just the title all the way to
Poontang.
The fact that it was all shot on the iPhone 4, which coincidentally is the same way that Rob makes all his movies.
That's true. Maybe the guy's influenced a little bit by Scott Reproduction.
He's influenced by Rob's. Yeah.
He's going to hire Connor to be the killer in it.
Yeah, but did you just see? That was awesome, though. That Halloween thing that Rob did with Connor doing that.
I like the
Friday
the 13th one, too, though, with Connor's Jason.
Yeah, and he did one where he was dressed up like a... That's when Rob was wanting those Blu-rays of Good, the Bad, the Ugly or something like that. Oh, those are pretty good, so it might not be that bad.
So, yeah. Anyway, we've got a couple more news topics to get to. We'll get to that. We're going to take a break. You can go fingerfuck yourself in the meantime. And we'll be back here on DeadPeer.com. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com. until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of them, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opposite, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore T-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Taylor Compton, and you are listening to DeadPit.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Creepy Kentuckian, huh?
And I'm Uncle Bill. Hello.
I want to talk about Shane Black, Uncle Bill.
Do you?
You remember the famed team of Black and Decker?
That is true. Fred Decker and, yeah, Shane Black.
Yeah, right. They were the guys in charge of the Monster Squad. Now, I know you know what the Monster Squad is.
I do.
Even though you were like, how long was he, one?
Mm-hmm. And he was also in Predator. He made jokes with Sonny Landham, and he's the one that's responsible for Sonny Landham's
laugh. Very famous guy, but it has been 6 years since the screenwriter behind Lethal Weapon and The Last Boy Scout, along with Monster Squad, wrote and directed Kith Kith Bang Bang, which I've never seen.
The Robert Downey Jr. one?
I haven't ever had the urge to see it.
Wasn't that?
And it's been 15 years since his previous scripting credit. The Long Kith Goodnight Baby with you, the killer movie, even though Ann was shitting on it the other day.
I wasn't shitting on it. I just said it's kind of stupid. I mean, it's...
Maybe all action movies are kind of stupid.
But that one's even more stupid, though.
Gina Davis looked really hot in that movie.
We were talking about Gina Davis the other day, too. We were trying to think of all the other movies that she played in.
We're both pretty big fans of Gina Davis.
You know, baby, back in them days... I'd have made Gina Davis' face look like a glazed donut, if you will.
Have you seen Gina Davis lately? Have you seen
it? Just saying, back in them days.
Well, we watched the Fly documentary that had her on it now. Holy
shit.
Which
is a really good documentary, by the way.
She got Kathleen Turner syndrome.
She does. Yeah. I think that's what we said she had.
Yeah. KTS.
KTS.
You gotta watch out for that.
And, like, Jeff Goldblum looks really good.
Her fucking face fell off and hit the floor.
Jeff Goldblum's a piece of shit. It looks like.
Don't talk about
Jeff Goldblum. But Black is Black. Black is back, baby. And Warner Brothers has hired him to direct the live-action adaptation of the Japanese manga series, Death Note.
Fuck yeah, nobody will watch it, but hell yeah.
What the hell is Japanese manga? Anyway, that sounds like some type of fruit.
It sounds like...
That's mango, baby.
Give me some of that manga.
Porn or something.
What is manga? I don't even know. Isn't it like animation or something? It's some sort of animation?
Maybe it's some nerdier form of animation. It
sounds
like
an STD.
Like pro wrestling has like fucking...
I got the manga.
I got manga.
You know, it's like...
I'm sorry, honey, but I have manga.
Gave you manga.
You gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. you know, it's like... It's sort of like a nerdier version of anime, probably is what manga is, like, to ROH is to, like, wrestling.
It's pretty nerdy, yeah. Oh, shit. Let's see what else we got here, though. News-wise, the synopsis for Scream 4. Here we go. Sydney Prescott, played by Neve Campbell, of course, now the author of self-help books, returns home to Woodsboro on the last stop of her book tour. There she reconnects with Sheriff Dewey, David Arquette, Gail, Courtney Cox, who are now married, as well as her cousin Jill, played by Emma Roberts, and her aunt Kate, played by Mary McDonnell. Unfortunately, Sydney's appearance also brings about the return of Ghostface, putting Sydney, Gail, and Dewey, along with Jill, her friends, and the whole town of Woodsboro in imminent danger of death.
Fucking Neve Campbell. She just needs to stay away.
God.
Everywhere she goes, people keep dying.
Neve Campbell has stayed away for, like 11 years.
Until the last Scream
movie. And everybody was fine, and then she comes back and everybody dies again.
Wes Craven decided to get greedy and come back and make another Scream movie.
Wouldn't it be awesome?
The movies he's making is like ain't doing anything.
I know, but I'm excited about this one.
Wouldn't it be awesome if Scream 4 was the same, like, made the same kind of way as My Soul Today?
Yeah.
It was that shitty.
I really want to see this one because it's they filmed parts of it in Plymouth. And like I've said before, the I get to see parts of my town, my mama's town.
After they got done filming it, though, he told her, he said he ain't never come back to Michigan because it's a piece of shit.
There's too many.
Not a piece of shit.
Too many hippies.
He said he got
Michigan.
Overrun by hippies.
There were probably a lot of yuppies, though, in Plymouth.
Yeah, the smell of incense and ass was too much for him to.
God.
Deal
incense,
with.
Ass, and baklava.
Yeah. Lionsgate Home Entertainment, though, has set its DVD VOD release date for. Two After Dark originals, which I know we're all looking forward to seeing, which are slated to open theaters January the 28th, Uncle Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And on March 29th, Lionsgate will debut Husk and Prowl on DVD and download and digital on demand, all that crap, whatever comes out now. The two all-new original films provide higher quality of horror, according to them. And fully developed and produced by After Dark Films. And when I think quality horror, I think After Dark Films. I don't know about you.
I think everybody does.
One of the best experiences I ever had in the movie theater with Elijah Cuthbert, baby. What the hell was the name of that movie she was in?
Captivity.
Captivity.
You just call it Craptivity.
Craptivity. I remember we were watching that. It was a lot like My Soul to Take. We were like looking over at each other and I was like, how in the fuck did this happen? Why is this in the theater?
But it was, I think it was a lot worse. It wasn't even like funny.
No, it was there were a couple things that were really funny about it. Like, Alicia Cuthbert, they actually drugged her dog along with her.
Wait, that was, I'm trying to think, I'm like, what the hell, did I even see that? And it was. That was the one with the dog being drugged. And she was tied to like that dentist chair kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's
almost.
That happens like the first 5 minutes of the movie. And then the rest, like the other 90 plus minutes, it's just her trapped the entire time. So.
Yeah, I don't remember anything about that movie, thankfully.
That's what I thought.
Other than it was stupid.
The only part of that movie I actually remembered was the dog.
Yeah. The other one, though, we saw, wasn't it part of After Dark series? The Abandoned?
The Abandoned.
Yeah.
Which was a little bit better, but not much.
There's only two we've ever seen at the theater.
Well, that was only, like, those were released separately, like the After Dark Horror Fest, which I don't even know if they, did they do that this year?
I don't even think they do it anymore, like in the theater.
We have never been able to, well, probably it's benefited us quite a bit not to see any of them.
They probably need to just let that die at this point. Yeah. I mean, I think people actually avoid those movies more than they watch them because it's After Dark.
Well, Husk is based on the Sundance Film Festival short film.
About the berserker?
When crows collide with the windshield of their car, a young group of friends are left stranded next to a desolate cornfield. Their friends seek out help from the single standing farmhouse they see, but quickly figure out that the only solace they have are each other, and when the house they have stumbled upon is actually the center of the supernatural. I've shit myself. I'm so excited to see Hoofed.
Yeah. So, let's see.
I think that's it.
Yeah, that's all the news.
That's all the news. All of it was horror.
What's coming to a theater near you?
Opening this weekend is a movie that I'm highly looking forward to, in sarcasm. Seth Rogen as the Green Hornet. Following the death of his father, Britt Reed, heir to his father's large company, teams with his late dad's assistant, Kato, to become a mass crime-fighting duo or team or whatever. It's directed by Mikkel Gondry, who did such wonderful films like Be Kind, Rewind, and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I like that movie, though.
I hated it.
Well, I think your opinion doesn't
Jim
matter.
Jim Carrey should never, ever, ever do anything that's serious again, although he loves to.
No, he doesn't do that bad in that movie. Though that movie was not that bad. It was actually kind of
well,
neat.
Well, I mean, CK really liked The Number 27, though. I know that. Yeah.
So I thought it was.
It was like the third 23? Sequel of The Number 23. That was the third sequel, though.
27.
Everywhere you look, you'll see 27.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, I don't see it.
They made a sequel around here where everywhere you looked, you saw Xanax. Oh, wait, that's just how it is.
All my pockets are full of Xanax.
I don't see nothing but Xanax in the bar.
Yeah, so the Green Hornet opens this weekend, and I don't think it'll do worth shit, but I could be wrong. People are dumb.
I had never even heard of it until
now. You never heard that? He lost like 100 pounds or something to play that role.
No, he lost a bunch of weight because his girlfriend was a vegan.
He lost a bunch of weight to play that damn role.
No, he was a vegan. I swear to God. I remember him. I remember watching an interview with
Don't
him saying that he lost
that,
a bunch
though,
of weight because his
Corey
girlfriend
Feldman,
was a vegan.
I think, did the same thing. Like some fucking the girl he married or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a vegan now. Fuck you.
They lose a bunch of weight because their girlfriends are vegans.
And they have a real hard time shitting.
Mm-hmm. I'm the exact opposite. If you get with me, I'm going to make you eat meat.
Lots of it.
Meat.
So he really lost a lot of weight just for this.
I'm pretty sure that's what he said. And then, like, he really wants to gain it back now since, like, that movie's over with.
It's
going
to be weird to see him kind of skinny.
That movie's going to suck
ass. But anyway, I'm not looking forward to it. I don't really care.
I think the whole superhero genre is just on the way out.
Well, they're running out of stuff. When you get to the Green Hornet, then you're like, who gives a shit?
Isn't there another one called the Green Lantern?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which will probably be soon.
I know they're making one for Captain America.
They've already made one.
I think
it's the guy with a new one.
I think it's the guy that was in Star Trek. He's Captain America, the younger.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Oh, is that Zachary Quinto?
No.
No.
That was the guy dude.
That was Spock.
Yeah, Spock. I don't remember that guy.
It doesn't matter.
It
looks like shit.
Okay.
DVDs. Is that name Chris Pine?
I think so.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter.
Well, I'm just trying to remember.
You going to look him up and rape him or something?
look him up and rape him.
It's fucking Chris Pine. I don't give a fuck who it is.
Oh, Jesus.
Like
oh, I'm sorry that I try to remember names. Excuse the hell out of me. I quit.
Okay, DVDs and Blu-rays for January the 18th. Hey, Vern, it's Ernest, the complete series.
Right. For $6.99, you can make it yours.
Justified, the complete first season on Blu-ray and DVD.
Yay.
Dallas, the complete 14th season.
Just when you thought you've had enough of Larry Hagman.
Yeah.
He's back for a 14th year.
Buried with Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, yeah, that's the movie about him burying his career.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right after he made Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hadn't been in much anything else. I'm mad now.
They buried my career. Roger Corman's cult classics triple feature with Attack of the Crab Monsters, War of the Satellites, and Not of This Earth, but you couldn't fucking make me watch all that shit.
JSX has to deal with Attack of the Crab Monsters.
God.
She's like, I'm in pinch.
I hurt me now, man. Get the vacuum.
Because everybody knows, you won't get rid of crabs, you use a vacuum. what we do is we set off a smoke bomb, then vacuum them all up out of your pants.
You're going to fumigate my crotch?
Yeah.
You're so mean.
Attack of the crab. Oh, fuck.
Oh.
That's too good.
Finally, though, WWE Table, Ladders, and Chairs 2010.
Make it yours.
And that's January 18th, Blu-ray and DVD release.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. We're going to get Ken Daniels on the line. We're going to talk to him about Fright Night 2011. It's the sixth year. I'm excited.
Yay!
We'll be back. DeadPit.com.
This is J.D. Fagelson for DeadPit.com reminding you that the Scarecrow is watching.
Hello, this is Sonny Lynn, and ever since I found God about 3 weeks ago, I've been trying to think of ways to explore. So now, you can get Sonny Landham Reads the Bible on DVD. Over 579 hours of Bible passages read to you by me, Sonny Lane, with special music added for dramatic effect. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, Mom. And there was light. And God saw the light. And he said, oh yeah, it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. He said, the light is good. and the darkness is bad and whatnot. So you folks better act now. You can get all 14 discs for a total of $379.99. Act now. Go over to sunnylandom.com and get your order in. And if you buy now, you can get Randy Macho Man Savage reads the Book of Mormon.
Man that is born a woman hath but a short time to live. Huh? And is full of misery. He cometh up and is cut down like a flower. The tower of power, too sweet to be sour. Funky like a monkey. Oh, yeah. Elizabeth!
You've seen me in Predator. You've seen me in Billy Longwood. And now, you can hear me, Son of Land, read the good book, The Holy Bible. So act now, call 1-800-LAND. That's my hotline. Go to sunnylandom.com. Jesus loves.
Hello.
Hello, is this Kenny D?
Yes, it is.
It's the Son of Landom. Called you to ask about the possibility of me attending Fright Night Film Fest this year.
I don't think so this year. We're all filled up.
Well, the hell not. You need Sonny. Come on. I'll bring the funk.
Everybody, and welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. The Creepy Kentuckian here.
And I'm Uncle Bill.
And we have the Crippler Ken Daniels, the creator, the innovator of the Fright Night Film Fest. He's going to make a huge announcement that's going to make everyone's panties nice and moist if you're a fan of horror films in general. And it's good to have you back on here. We haven't talked to you in a little bit on the show. So what's going on with Fright Night for 2011?
Good to be back, guys. I know we've been a little quiet on purpose because you know how we are. We don't like to make announcements unless we've got them confirmed. And we're waiting and waiting, but we wanted the Dead Pit listeners to know that I hope everybody can wet their panties on this because it should be a great time. But we've got the king, the man himself, coming. No, it's not Elvis. It's John Carpenter will be coming to Fright Night Film Fest 2011 as the guest of honor.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm partying out over here. We're celebrating. You can hear people are excited over here about it. So.
That's right.
Well, I think ever since you started doing Fright Night Film Fest, so we kind of been talking about the possibility of getting this guy. I know you tried really hard the first year to get him, but, I mean, that is the guy to get. I mean, that's the one that we've all been waiting on, I think.
You know what, guys? He's a Kentuckian. He's the guy we wanted. And I am happy as hell. And we're going to bring some other people. I won't say who, but we're working on people that are involved with some of these films that haven't been to the region. And you know how we do it at Fright Night. You know, we also, of course, guys, you know, Fright Night has Fandom Fest along with it. So Henry Winkler is coming, who was also in Scream. And I've got a bunch of other pop culture guests as well as horror guests.
Wow.
Coming down the pike. I won't give all the hints. You know, I hate doing that to people, but it's just so much better when people can see that it appears on the website. It's real. I got the contract last night, so you guys, which would be Wednesday night, so when people get this, it may be Friday night, but it's set in stone, so we're going to do some incredible mashup stuff. We're going to have the Dead Pit wedding, the wedding of all time. So it'll be horror related. It'll be a blast. Every Dead Pit
That's
fan
right.
around the world needs to come in for this.
Me and Uncle Bill are getting married.
We finally decided. Yeah, we got to get out of Eastern Kentucky. But
I haven't been feeling right ever since. You know, he's been eating my butt for at least 6 years, and I'm like, we got to make it official, Uncle Bill.
So, now I can eat your butt legally.
Yeah, you can eat my butt legally.
Make it legal. I thought it was legal in Kentucky.
Yeah, it probably is, but that's
only if it's farm animals.
Oh, hey, or your sister.
Don't forget, guys. We've also got the Dead Pit Awards coming. Because Dead Pit is going to be having a big part of the horror show this year. So if everybody just sees Uncle Bill in a creepy Kentucky and running around, you know. Sure. Trying to do all kinds of shit this year. It's going to be a good thing.
You'll get to see who the most prestigious Dead Pit Award, the Pity Award. Yes. Who is the asshole of the year for 2010?
This is going to be the show. And as you guys know, all the fans know, this is Dead Pit's favorite show. This is their home base show. It's the show that they have a blast at, and yes, this year, guys, we will have air conditioning. I can promise you, because we're going to a new hotel.
Woo,
it's
right.
Our first hotel, but we've taken up both sides of the hotel.
Well, we were talking about that earlier, because it is sort of a homecoming in that, and it's cool that John Carpenter is coming to this particular show, because as I remember, 2006 was the first Fright Night that was an actual convention, I'm thinking.
That's right. It was the first one. And that was the first year we gave him the award.
Yeah.
I actually flew out and saw John and had him on video receiving the first award. So this year, we're going to give it to him in person. Mm. Again, so the fans can see it. But, guys, get your autograph money ready. Get your posters ready. Get your DVDs. And just come on down and have a good time and show John what it's about.
Well, I'm definitely bringing at least three or four things for John Carpenter. I'm actually considering bringing, I have an original Halloween one sheet poster and have never really thought about removing it from the tube that I have it in. But I think it'd be cool just to get him to sign it and then frame the son of a bitch. So
yeah.
I think that'd be cool, dude.
Well, do you have any idea what you're doing, though, Ken, as far as, like, with ticket systems and stuff like that? Or
we are going to do a ticket system.
Okay.
And I want to come back on here and talk more about it in the coming weeks because, you know, we're going to do the Dead Pit Awards, and there's going to be limited ticket seating for that, too, because I can tell you from how you guys do your Dead Pit room every year, there's a limited amount of people. We want to bring probably 250, 300 people to come to the Dead Pit Awards, and we want to do ticket systems for that. Tickets for John. And basically, I won't know exactly because we're working right now on the room because we have two ballrooms now for this specific purpose right next to each other. So you can really walk across the hallway and there's John and several other people. But we're going to make it as easy as possible. We're going to make it fun. By utilizing the ticket system and where we can call the numbers out over the microphone, you know, maybe 50 people to 100 people can stand in line or however long it takes them to do it. And then, you know, we just do it like a ticket so you can go around and shop. Because there's nothing worse, guys, than standing in line for 4 hours, mm-hmm. not getting a chance to see something. Jump up, get a line, get a ticket, go shop.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a good idea for John Carpenter with the ticket system. I mean,
do you remember 2009, guys? We did that for Danny, and we did it for Danny Lloyd and one other one, and it worked really well. And people could just go and do other stuff. And I don't want to go to a convention and stand 5 hours in line, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to do that. But I've got a lot of other surprises up our sleeves that I will, you know, let the Dead Pit guys and all the fans know first. So keep tuning in, and please keep emailing us and let us know. We have revamped the website on purpose because we were waiting for John. He was our key guy. And don't forget to check out FandomFest.com in the next week or so when it goes live. And basically, guys, just please keep us informed of who you want to see. And we've got some more surprises that will make it more unique. And everybody knows, you know, mm-hmm. who comes to the show. This is this kind of show you come to that you hang out with everybody, and it's a kind of gathering show that you want to come to because we do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, the one thing that everyone always says about Fright Night is that there's always a lot to do at the show. I mean, you can never really do everything you want to do at the show. There's so much stuff to do, so.
Yeah. But you can't beat that for the money, and we're going to keep ticket prices low, and for vendors included, everything's going to be, you know, definitely lower than all other shows. But, you know, we'll be at shows, guys, around the country promoting for it. We'll be at some upcoming horror shows. We'll be down south. We're going to be up north. So we're going to be pretty much all over. So stay tuned and keep listening to Dead Pit for more information, and go to the website, FrightNightFilmFest.com.
All right, man. Well, we definitely appreciate it, and thanks for taking the time out. And definitely a big bomb was dropped.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually really freaking excited for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we both, as far as like the biggest interview, in my opinion, that we ever did was the John Carpenter interview, and I was getting ready to shit myself just talking to the guy on the phone. So definitely looking forward to finally meeting him, and it's awesome that Fright Night is the first show to bring him to the area too.
Yes, and we're very happy about that because he's from Kentucky. So
very cool.
Thanks, guys, and we look forward to talking to Dead Pit and the fans soon. Okay.
All right, man. You take it easy.
Take care.
All right. You too, guys.
Bye.
Never hear the shot that takes you down. Out of time, don't say goodbye. What is yours now is mine.
There you go. Mailbag!
Burn it up.
You bag!
Oh, God. Come
That's
on.
Right, buddy. I'm a full-blooded asshole. I know it.
Yes, you are.
So how you doing, Jessica? We didn't get to talk to you. You didn't talk a whole lot in that fucking opening segment. What's wrong with you?
I'm distracted. I got a headache.
You turned your microphone back on. That's good.
Yeah, I did.
I normally wouldn't do that because I always forget about shit like that, but that's good.
I'm responsible.
That's right. So we don't have a whole lot of fan questions this week, but we do have a few.
Because people don't like us.
Nope.
People seems really like, want us to bring back the call-in portion.
It seems like you, we less and less.
Buddy, everybody's bringing up, I miss the call-in portion.
Well, you can keep on missing it, because I'll never do that shit again.
Well, maybe like the longer that you guys don't do it, like, and then you bring it back, that you'd get a lot of good call-ins.
You do.
Here's
it,
the
then.
Thing.
No.
Here,
I'll let you
I
want
to mention
nope.
this right now. And we haven't talked about it, but I want to say why the call-ins disappeared to begin with.
Because they suck.
They didn't always suck, but the majority of the time, okay, when we started the live call-ins after Fright Night, we're going to debut the live call-ins. That was pretty much a last-ditch effort to save that segment, right? We'd always said that. And maybe we should have said it then. It was like, look, the call-in portion is in danger.
Well,
because it's shit.
Sometimes it was good. I mean, on a couple of occasions, and then certain callers were always good. But majority of the time, it was just so unstructured, and people would call in. They wouldn't know what to say, and they just, like,
Hi,
wouldn't have a question.
How are you doing?
Hey, you guys do.
What are you
doing?
I don't want to go back to that at all.
What are you doing right now?
And, like, there are certain people, though, that I miss actually hearing from, though, and that's the thing.
Well, you call them on the phone right there.
No,
you had to bring them on the show.
It did. When it was good, it did make the show better. I'll say that. But when it was bad,
it really ruined.
It ruined
a large
the show.
Portion like of the show.
So I don't know. I mean, we thought of the idea of maybe people leaving voice messages or something like that. We'll brainstorm and maybe come up with something where we can make it more interactive for the fans. So we'll come up with something. I definitely don't want to do the call-in portion every week like we did. I mean, maybe every once in a blue moon for a fan pit or something like that. But, like, I just, you know, it just sucked so much ass the last 3 or 4 months that we did it.
How many times, how long did we do it? We did it for like 3 years.
Yeah, we did it for over 3 years.
Yeah.
Almost 4 years.
That's enough.
You're going to take 3 years off?
Yeah, we'll take 3 years
off.
We're
going to take 3 years off and bring it back. But it was like.
So two more, about two and a half more years, you guys start bringing back.
It was like, I know for the both of us, though, it was like the one thing that we just didn't like to do. Like,
it was pure torture there for a while. I mean, I'll say, I'm kind of over-exaggerating, like, how bad it was and how
But it was something that we didn't really look forward to doing.
No, and it just got really bad.
It made us want to time out. We had to time out the show for the 8 o'clock thing to take phone calls. So, I don't know. I mean, if you want to send us suggestions on what to do, we'll always listen to them. Maybe we won't do what you say, but hell. But I, for one, like the mailbag.
Yeah,
I think
the
it's
truth,
a lot more relaxed.
The truth of the matter is, too, when people always were, like, bitching when we wouldn't have it, they'd be like, we want that call-in show. We want it back. And then we'd be like, all right, well, then when you call in, you do this, this, and this, and here's what's going to happen. And they never did it. They never paid any attention to anything that we said about, like, having a question ready and not asking us what we're doing and that kind of stuff. So, fuck it. That's what I say. I mean, as far as that goes, you ain't going to be able to get them to pay attention.
Well, I think a lot of people, like I'd heard from some people that actually fast-forward the call-in portion, too, you know.
Yep.
So, it's like you're not going to please everybody. But ultimately, like, when we're the ones doing the show, we're making the calls. And, you know, I'm open to suggestion. I mean, if I think that maybe leaving voicemails and stuff might be a good solution to that.
I think it would be fun, too. Because then some people are actually, when they're not put on the spot, that they're pretty funny. Some of those voicemails that you guys have had were pretty funny.
So maybe we'll do that. I mean, it just depends on, you know. I mean, it'd make it a lot easier for us, I think. But timing the show out and all that, it's shitty. I don't like doing that. But anyway, we do have the bag to get to.
Yeah, on the bag.
It's a nice deep bag.
Oh, God.
No, not really.
Jeez.
I want to get my ass whipped here shortly.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. You know how I'll do it.
He always brings it on back with saying that he's sorry. Makes me feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Newt138 says, who would win in a fight, Uncle Bill or Bob Holly?
What? What does Bob Holly have to do with anything?
Who would win the fight?
Who would win the fight, Bob Holly?
You mean in the fight of life? Because I always went over Bob Holly, that guy's a piece of shit. Or you mean like in a fist fight?
He's talking about a fucking fight.
Yeah, like a fist fight.
I'd say Bob Holly would probably win because he's a dick. And he enjoys that.
Is that why he'd win?
Yeah. He enjoys
that. How do you like me now?
How do you like me now? That guy's a piece of hell.
Really? Piece
he doesn't
of
like
hell.
Bob Holly. I think Newt 138 really enjoys Bob Holly, though. It's like the one guy that likes Bob Holly that I know.
I think we'll get into how the fuck you could like Bob Holly. I actually like Crash Holly's corpse more than I do Bob Holly.
That's disrespectful, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Blizzard Bob says, what do you guys think of 3D on TV and in theaters? I have 3D on my new TV, but have barely used it. I personally am tired of 3D and wish it would go away. Director Christopher Nolan told Warner Brothers no 3D for the next Batman film, and I hope more directors stand up to the movie studios on this 3D crap. Movies like Avatar look really awesome in 2D HD over the 3D stuff. I actually never seen... No, I did see Avatar in 3D in the theaters.
Hmm. Well,
you suck.
It looked really good, though, in theaters, it did.
I think 3D, ultimately, like, at the end of the day, is just another gimmick. I mean, it's... I guess time will tell if it's actually going to catch on. But, I don't know. I think it's already sort of losing a little bit of momentum over the last few months because it just seems like every movie is 3D now and it's not really even a gimmick anymore. It's just sort of the norm.
Yeah, and it is. The studios use it. And the problem is, unless it's like with CG, unless you've got a lot of money to put behind it, it's going to look like ass. And here's what I've noticed they do. They do one of two things. They either make a movie and then because of whatever reason the studio, I guess, like, transitions it into 3D after it's already been made. Like
I think what they did with Piranha is they actually shot the movie itself regular, you know, in 2D.
Yeah.
And then the CG stuff was 3D.
Okay, so then that turns up looking like shit. Or they make, like, gags purposely for 3D, which really distract you from the movie, which are kind of silly because you have to make things over-exaggerated to be in 3D. So, I mean, it just... It distracts from your actual point of the movie, I think.
I think that seeing 3D in the theaters isn't that bad compared to having to see it at home. Because remember we were all at Best Buy and they had those 3D TVs and we were trying on those glasses and shit.
Yeah, that didn't work at all.
It didn't even matter. It just didn't. It felt like my eyes were more bothered.
It reminded me of trying to watch like Friday the 13th 3 on Blu-ray in 3D. I mean, it was kind of the same effect. Like, it kind of works, but
it gets irritating after a while.
Well, I think they're working on TVs now where you don't have to wear the glasses for the 3D. Like, those are still in the early.
That might be what that is. Yeah, I think I've seen commercials for that or something.
The point is, though, I don't know about, like, home theater 3D, but unless it's a really expensive movie, I've noticed that it just doesn't work very well in 3D.
Like, My Bloody Valentine in 3D, that wasn't as bad because parts of the movie were really campy. It was really retarded, some of it. And then Piranha in 3D, that wasn't that bad. I actually enjoyed it. That movie was fun.
Yeah, I liked the movie. I thought 3D was awful.
The movie was good. The 3D didn't really, I didn't think it worked that well.
Maybe I think it was the theater. I think that was the problem, was the theater.
I don't think it worked very well anywhere, though, from what I was reading.
But it's still, even then, parts of it that were in 3D, it was campy, and I thought it was kind of fun. And what was the other one? Avatar. That one was pretty good. And then so
well, Avatar cost a fucking gazillion dollars to make, too. I think, like, the 3D stuff at home, though.
I think that's where the problem is.
Like, 3D works, I'm sure, like, if it's done correctly in the theater on a big fucking screen. But, like, if you're watching it on a regular size, you know, just a decent size LCD TV, like, I don't know. I don't really care that much. To me, like, I don't want to watch a movie, a 2-hour movie, 3-hour movie with fucking glasses on, you know, and you're trying to, a movie should be about the fucking, the plot, the actors, the direction.
And the 3D.
You know.
Yeah, clearly well, the 3D.
Yeah, nowadays the 3D is just as important. I mean, I don't really get it.
I think, though, when you start trying to make movies just for 3D, which is what they do now, I mean, they really don't, they're just making it because it's going to be in 3D and that's their gimmick. They're not really putting any thought into what they're making. It kind of hurts the movies.
Holla.
All right, Cody LL says, first, a small recommendation. Have you guys ever seen Wait Until Dark? The 1967 thriller with Audrey Hepburn, Alan Arkin, and Richard Crenna. If not, you should do yourself a favor and see it because I watched it last night and it was awesome.
I've seen it. It's been probably 10 years. I saw it on VHS tape. I remember this very well. And it is a really, really good movie, though. It's the story Audrey Hepburn is blind and there's like a serial killer who's stalking her and finally catches up with her towards the end of the movie, but he thinks it's going to be easy because she can't see. She doesn't know where he's at or anything. And then there's a big twist towards the end.
I've never seen it. I've never heard of it.
And,
I'll have to check it out, Cody.
It says, anyways, last week you guys talked about the Star Wars movies coming to Blu-ray and how George Lucas is still pretty much giving the fans the finger. I'm a casual fan of Star Wars. I don't hate the prequels like most people do, but I do understand why they're so despised. There's way too much CGI, the writing is retarded, and the acting is pretty bad. Hayden Christensen is terrible. And while it doesn't mean much to me, I do think Lucas is being a dick by not putting the unaltered versions of the original trilogy on Blu-ray and acting like he can't do it. My question is, do you think those prequels could have been better if someone else wrote and directed them? Also, do you think Lucas is intentionally being a dick about those original versions or he really doesn't know?
I'm sure anybody not that closely associated with Star Wars, had they been given the budget. Like, for instance, like, if you were to give Guillermo del Toro the budget to make the Star Wars prequels in 97, 98, whenever they started making them, there's no way it wouldn't have been, like, way better than the Lucas versions. But the problem is, you've got that original trilogy that's always going to be there, and the fans love it so much that it's never, ever going to live up to the hype. And I'm not saying it couldn't have been better. It could have been way better if someone else did it. But those original movies were just too loved for them. I don't think they ever should have actually made. And if they wanted to make prequels, they should have done what they're doing with the Clone Wars crap. Just make like a CG or animated series of movies. That way it would have been, they couldn't have really compared it to the original live action movies.
I can't imagine anybody doing a worse job than Lucas did with those movies, though. I really can't. Like, so much about that was so wrong. Like he said, I mean, the writing was horrible. The acting was horrible. It's all CG after, like, the first film, I think. It's just like my own personal hell for movies, really. Like, all those things coming together and...
Yeah, a lot of people talk about the acting, though. I think a lot of that is the script.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of the stuff that he wrote in that script, well, I mean, how could you really convincingly act some of those?
But seriously, though, like, didn't you think, I always thought this, too, that Samuel L. Jackson was just completely fucking out of place in those movies. Like, every time Smith, I saw him, I was like, this is not right. Like, he never looked like he knew what the hell he was saying or why he was saying it or what was going on in that movie. But, no, I mean, I can imagine if you'd have cast that movie differently, written better dialogue, I mean, anybody could have done a better job.
Well, I mean, some of the cast I thought was pretty cool. I thought Christopher Lee, he probably had the best role in the entire trilogy, the Count Dooku character. I thought that was a pretty cool character, good villain, you know. It wasn't completely, I mean, there was some cool stuff here and there, but
Yoda was awesome. Who they ever got to play Yoda.
Darth Maul looked really cool, too.
Yeah. But I mean, what was the second part of the question? Oh, does Lucas intentionally being a dick about the original versions, or he really doesn't know?
I think Lucas is just so constantly around people that just fucking tongue his asshole that he really, anything he says is what happens now. He's at that point to where, like, he doesn't care what anybody else's opinions are. It's just him. Nobody around him really questions it.
I'm honestly not sure why he's putting out those versions of those films on Blu-ray and not the original versions. Or at least why he doesn't have an alternate cut that he just can put in there. And the only thing I can think of is at some point he knows he's going to re-release them and make, like, a ton more money. But there ain't no reason to do it.
I mean, he did release, I don't know if you know this, he released them on the DVD, but they were like non-anamorphic and they were direct ports from the Laserdisc.
Oh, that's nice.
So, anyway. Yeah, the whole Star Wars thing has been talked about to death, though. I mean, I don't know if we should really focus on...
Well, Cody's asking, so we should focus on it, because Cody's kind of a big deal.
That's true. But, yeah, people have just bitched about it, like, constantly. Like, of all the different podcasts and stuff that have talked about Star Wars and all that shit, like, Lucas has probably had, like, 10, 12 years of people bitching about those prequels and the special editions. Nothing's going to make him change his mind. It's all
I swear, though. George Lucas does remind me of, what was that guy's name in King of Kong?
Mitchell.
Billy Mitchell. That's kind of who he reminds me of. He's kind of a dick in the same way as that guy.
That guy was the ultimate dick.
I almost thought that movie was a little bit staged, though. It seemed like nobody could be that big of a douchebag.
I think that was genuine.
I thought that too when I saw dickness. It. But, I don't know, that guy. There's something wrong with him. Anyway.
Onward.
All right, this one's interesting. William McItchen.
McLovin. It's McLovin.
All right. He wants to know how me and Uncle Bill got together.
Ooh.
That's basically what he's asking.
You basically wanted to get, let's go ahead and admit it right now, you wanted your hand in a Dead Pit pocket.
That's exactly what it was.
All money. That's all you women think about. And I'm getting sick of it, aren't you, Uncle Bill?
Yeah, clearly she wanted me for my treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All in
she wants a piece of the Dead Pit pie. Let me tell you something. We got it in contract. Me and Uncle Bill split Dead Pit 50-50.
Yeah, well, I also got my hands on that contract.
Well, you can take and Uncle Bill's half. I don't care as long as I get half.
No. That's not how this is working out. We're dividing everything.
Nope.
There's a lot of people, though, that do think that you're purposely trying to break up the show.
Yeah, they call you the Dead Pit Yoko.
Oh,
why?
I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Why?
I'm inserting myself, and I'm going to sabotage you guys. That's how I ended up here. This is all part of my master plan.
It's odd, though, that if you're going to break up the show, you're actually in the show. I mean, you'd think that you'd not want me to do the show and not actually be a part of the show.
This is actually Uncle Bill's last show.
Oh, shit.
Are you going to kill him tonight?
No, I'm not letting him come back.
You're going to stick a sword up his ass?
No, he's not coming back. That's the thing. He's not allowed to come back. So today's your last day, all right?
You know why though he's gonna come back?
Why?
Because he loves me more than he loves you.
Mm-mm.
He does.
Mm-mm.
He's known me longer.
That's the man who loves me more.
He's ate my butt more.
Shit. Yeah. So the whole thing is that I'm here. So that way.
She's here. We're sorry, folks. Let's all sing a song. We won't sing, folks. Because that's the last question. We got to fill up some time.
No, that ain't the last question.
That's not the last question. We have one from Kyle.
Kyle, you read his question.
Okay.
Right now.
Kyle says, hey, guys, it's your good old buddy from Olive Hill. Eat shit and live. Kyle here.
Olive Hill. The home of Tom T. Hall.
Oh, this guy, he's in Olive Hill, Kentucky. For some reason, I was thinking of Cherry Hill, New Jersey. But
Olive Hill,
there's a Cherry Hill, Michigan.
They make pickles and shit, don't they?
There's Cherry Hill in Michigan.
I would imagine they make olives.
I like black olives.
How do you make, are olives?
I like Caucasian olives.
How do you make olives? Do olives just fucking grow on shit?
I think olives are like a plant.
Olives is like a vine.
Yeah, it's like a vine.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And they pickle them.
Yeah, those are like the green olives with the little, what's that orange thing in the middle?
This is the olive portion.
Okay.
Are they a vegetable?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they'd be
the
a fruit.
Fuck are olives?
Who gives a fuck? I don't like olives.
I think you put them in martini.
Well, you should definitely know about that.
I need a drink.
I got Patron over there.
I don't want that. I want like a drink. I want a girly drink right now. I want a daiquiri or something.
You want a bloody vagina?
That
I
sounds
want you to
awesome.
Read that fucking question.
Jesus, yeah. See, and that's.
Do what you said, woman.
Okay, I wanted to write you guys and tell you that this show has been really good lately, and I think that Mary Jessica has been a great addition to the show. CK, I was wondering, since you said you are such a big mark for anything from the 80s, do you like the old Miami Vice TV show?
No. I don't like anything Michael Mann ever did aside from maybe Heat. I hate that guy. Like, he makes some of the most boring, just repetitive movies.
Did he do the TV show?
Yeah, it was his show. And he did the movie, too, the new movie.
He says, I'm a huge fan of the show, and he even named my first child Sonny after Don Johnson's character from the show. That's awesome.
I'm not going to say, like, I hate the show, but it's just never anything I ever watched. I was more of a fan of A-Team back in the day. It was my show.
I was too young for the 80s.
Yeah, A-Team was awesome.
Yeah.
I know you guys agreed with me that Machete was the best movie of 2010. What do you think of Rodriguez's other films or movies? I really like Desperado and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. And I can't wait to hear great things from you guys in 2011.
Well, for one thing, Kyle, was his name Kyle?
Kyle Taylor.
We didn't agree with you. You agreed with us on Machete. Now, as far as like the other movies, we're actually going to be reviewing those here in the upcoming weeks ahead.
As I recall, though, I think I liked Once Upon a Time in Mexico the most out of that whole trilogy. I guess there was what? Was it a trilogy? No. El Mariachi was first, then Desperado, and then Once Upon a Time in Mexico. They're all really great movies.
Yeah, I think Desperado was kind of a remake of El Mariachi.
I think it was, too, like an American.
Yep.
The El Mariachi was sort of like a really low-budget movie back in the day.
He also did The Faculty, too, though. Which
did
I actually,
he?
Yeah.
He did.
Which I actually liked a lot.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And he did From Dusk Till Dawn. That was his, too.
Mm-hmm.
He did,
which is an awesome movie.
Which is not on Blu-ray, either.
I thought it was.
Bizarre.
I did, too.
I think it's out in Canada or something. That don't count. So, yeah, Robert Rodriguez is like a really, like, he's one of those guys, too, that...
Didn't he do Sin City?
Yeah.
Yeah. He just does, like, I mean, even if you don't like the Spy Kids movies, at least he tried to do other genres. Like, how many filmmakers actually do that? Does your hardcore, like, R-rated action movie and then goes and makes, like, successful kids franchise, too. Not too many directors out there, so.
Bob Clark, but that was, like, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I'm talking about modern days. Actually, nowadays, you can't even find, like, solid directors that have a good, you know, four or five films under their belt, let alone, like, you know, how many ever Rodriguez has, like,
yeah.
Eight, nine.
Thank God for Paul W.S. Anderson, though.
Yeah. So, anyway, that is it. We appreciate all of your letters and all that stuff. You can leave them in the mailbag on the Facebook page or on the Dead Pit Message Board, ain't it, right?
Yeah, you can leave it on there now. You can.
So, appreciate everybody. And
how about a few more fucking questions, too?
Yeah,
Jesus, that's like, what, four?
Yeah, that's
five?
Like,
it took about 30 minutes.
There's like five questions.
We can't call in now and aggravate the piss out of you, so we're going to send you no questions.
What do you suggest doing, Uncle Bill? You want to sing a song?
You mean for questions? Or what I suggest doing just in general?
In general?
I suggest we get drunk on that Patron over there and just fucking go crazy.
Let's do it. Let's do it now.
It's Thursday night.
Come on.
No.
Let's do it.
So if it was Friday night,
you'd be all right with it.
If it's Friday night, I'd be watching SmackDown.
Well, I don't have to drive. Can I drink it?
No.
And you're staying.
That's
mine. You're home, so like, you don't have to do it.
We need to take a break, though. I know that. Let's play some Tom T. Hall on the way out for Kyle.
Let's play it.
We'll
Kyle's my new buddy.
Yeah, he's like your one and only fan.
Yeah, I think so. Kyle's the only one who likes me on these people.
Thank you, Kay.
Thanks, Kay.
He's really sweet, though.
Kyle's nice. Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah. Jessica likes people that like her.
Mm-hmm.
People that don't, what do you say to them?
Fuck them.
In the butt.
Fuck you in the butt.
We'll be back here on Dead Pit.
.com. On old dogs and children and watermelon wine. Ever had a drink of watermelon wine? He asked. He told me all about it, though I didn't answer back. Ain't but three things in this world that's worth a solitary dime. But old dogs and children.
There's a deserted theater down by the pier, and if you value your life, you won't go there. Or up in the balcony and down every row, a killer with a knife roams ready to strike in the Flesh and Blood Show. They were young and beautiful actors and actresses, but little did they know they would meet a deadly fate in the Flesh and Blood Show. Ah, those young people of Shakespeare and love, they thought they knew all there was to know. But behind the scenes, a killer awaited them in the Flesh and Blood Show. So you brave and bold moviegoers, listen to me when I tell you what you ought to know. That the most chilling experience of your life will occur when you see the Flesh and Blood Show. The Flesh and Blood Show, brought to you by EVI in color, rated R.
Hey, Uncle Bill!
Yeah!
How you doing?
I'm Kevin.
You know Dead Pit fans out there? Not a lot of them know about the midweek obliteration.
I thought everybody knew. It's the hottest thing going today.
You can go on Facebook,
Check it out on the Dead Pit Universe page. Brand new show almost every damn week. You can hear us bullshitting.
And in a historical first, there's a new member of Dead Pit. Jesco!
Hey, Jesco.
Hi.
You like joining in on the Midweek Obliteration every week? You like getting obliterated by two Eastern Kentuckians, don't you?
Lay it down with your sweet sultry voice.
Obliterate
all over my face. Yeah, you know you have a lot of guys that masturbate your voice on a weekly basis now.
Oh, God, it's just like, She's a girl. She likes hormones. She's on Dead Pit. That's the perfect girl for me.
I'll just came a little bit in my pants.
How's that make you feel? You're now like a hillbilly sexual icon.
A hillbilly sexual icon?
Yeah.
Oh, like shit. Goats and sisters.
And you can hear all about it. Hey, I asked Jessica some of the nastiest shit known to man almost every week on the Midweek Obliteration, and she answers it, and she has respect for it, don't you?
What the fuck? She has respect for
it.
I respect this
question. Yeah, respect. For me, telling her about what a blumpkin he is and all that.
Oh, good lord.
She's going to try that out on Uncle Bill over there.
Ain't nobody touching me when I'm shitting. I don't give a damn what freezing is.
Even if I go in there and be like, hey.
I'm going to get out. What are you doing? You crazy. Pull your dick out of the toilet. Give it to me. Oh, God.
Hear all that on the midweek.
Obliteration.
Yay.
John Carpenter, director of family comedies and musicals, and you are listening to Dead Pit Radio.
I'm opening this shit up.
Hi.
We're back for the review portion. What the fuck are we reviewing? I don't know. What are we reviewing?
Movies that we watched.
We're just
separately.
Explaining that. I want to explain it because, like, we did have some severe winter storms over this week, and we didn't really get to exchange DVDs or Blu-rays or anything. That's what we normally do during the week. And we didn't really get to review both of the same things. But we did. Jess is always watching stuff.
Always.
So what was some, let's talk about some interesting stuff you guys have watched. We've all watched over the last week. I guess it'd be the review portion.
Well, I guess, like, we usually watch a lot of the movies together if there's something new that we've been getting a lot of stuff that we ordered in off of our gift cards from Christmas. So our mailman, who is a fucking dick, he's our biggest dick in the world. I can't stand that man. Every time he delivers a package to us, he just has such a big-ass attitude. And it pisses me off. I said that he delivered a poster tube today, and I said, thanks, and he just walked right away. And I'm like, I hate you so much.
What poster did you get?
Oh, I can't say.
What?
Why?
Because. I can't say.
Wait, we got a poster today?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that.
Yep, I didn't tell you.
What is it? Tell me. You can tell me.
Well, if I tell you, it'd be all up over it. Say, I can't tell him.
Is it something you bought?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, this will be interesting.
Is it a gift for me?
No.
A waffle gift.
Oh, shit. I know what it is.
Yeah.
Yay.
We got it.
Woo!
Okay.
Well, I'm going to find out eventually.
The mailman is a dick, though, by the way.
So
unless it's like a, is it not a poster?
Oh, it's a poster.
Of what?
A movie.
A movie.
Why can't I know what it is?
We just don't want to. Yeah,
it's funny. Funny.
Something gay.
Yeah, it's terms of endearment.
It's the poster for Follow That Bird.
It's the poster for Flipper.
Paul Hogan.
Yeah.
It's beaches.
Okay, so
it
anyway.
Is something like that.
Back to the story, though.
Cocksuckers.
The mailman is a dick. Like, we'll put mail in there for him to take away to mail. He'll never pick it up.
He won't. He'll just leave it there. He's such an asshole.
It's not Mr. McFeely, is it?
No.
He's so mean. He walks up, and, like, anytime that we'll have something, lately we have a lot of shit being delivered to the house, and he just pounds on the door, and I open up the door, and he fucking, like, runs across the street, and I'm like, thanks. I always say thank you to him, and he just,
fuck your mother.
Most of the time he ignores me. But anytime we have to anything mail out, I have to watch like a hawk out the window to see if he's there, and I chase him down to his mail truck to give him, like, whatever bills or anything we're mailing out. I fucking hate him. I can't stand him.
Here's the thing, though, it sucks, too, is, like, it always, like, I always like to have actual mailbox instead of having it, like nailed to the side of your door, because, it just seems like they're more apt to open the mailbox, and you got the little flag in there where they can tell, like, if there's mail in there to be picked up and shit.
I don't think he's apt to open anything.
Probably not.
He does. If we don't have anything being delivered to our house, he will skip our house. I've seen him do it plenty of times. He'll skip it. If we have whatever mail was being mailed out outside of the mailbox or inside, it doesn't fucking matter.
So, what poster did you get?
So you do need to settle down, though, and finish talking about the Blu-rays and stuff that that we got in the mail.
What are you doing over there?
What poster is it?
Okay. Well, we watched Ghostbusters.
Hey, motherfucker, tell me.
We watched Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
fuck
Ghostbusters.
Blu-ray.
How do you think I'm eventually not going to know what the fuck it is?
You will.
Are you going to, like, just pull it out of convention?
Hey, fuck you. That'd be awesome to do. You've never seen the movie, though.
Yeah.
What the fuck does it matter, then?
This is actually funner to watch you throw a fit over us not telling him.
We should tell him
what the poster is. I wanna.
Is it Human Centipede?
Yep.
It's got shit stains on it.
Yeah, all over it.
Did you lick it clean?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, fuck your shit. You watched the Ghostbusters Blu-ray.
Okay, so
everybody has been hating on that Blu-ray pretty much.
It's a shitty fucking Blu-ray. Here's the thing I will tell you about it, though. It does have all of the special features on it that the DVD has on it, which I didn't think that was the case. I didn't think it had any special features on it, but it does. It's just they're all, like, full frame. Like, yeah. They're not in any way converted for widescreen TVs or anything like that. Not just that, the Blu-ray itself looks fucking awful. It's probably the worst looking Blu-ray I've ever seen.
Which is weird, too, because, like, they went all out with, like, the packaging and stuff and with the slip case, and it looks like it's some big special edition.
It looks like a really bad DVD.
It does. It looks like a horrible DVD. I feel like any other Blu-ray you watch after that will look beautiful. Doesn't even matter which one it is. Because I know I was watching Predator the other day, and you said that you thought that the transfer was kind of shitty, that it didn't really look that good.
It was shitty.
But compared to Ghostbusters, I feel like every Blu-ray I watch from now on is going to be
amazing. Yeah, I don't think anybody can
really.
You can't overestimate how bad that movie looks on Blu-ray.
It looks like a really, really bad DVD.
So what else? What was the other one we watched after that?
We watched House of a Thousand Corpses.
Okay, yeah, we got the new Devil's Rejects House of a Thousand Corpses 2-pack in. Watched House of a Thousand Corpses first. We haven't watched Devil's Rejects yet, but that looked amazing. Like, I was, especially the parts with, like, Captain Spaulding at the beginning of it, it looked so crystal clear. Like, you could see everything in there. It looked like you were watching, like, a painting or something. It was so clear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd seen that Blu-ray before. I think it was, like, one of those deals at Walmart for a while. It was, like, $10 or something, and I finally got it. And, yeah, like, especially if you saw it in theaters. Like, when we saw it in the theaters, you wouldn't think that it could look good, you know, in high def, but it really, it does, like, all the colors, and it's just a really colorful movie.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
It's, yeah, people like it, and it's a bargain Blu-ray now, pretty much, too, and you can get it pretty cheap.
Yeah, we got ours.
We got the 2-pack really cheap, didn't we?
I think we paid, like, $10 for it or something like that.
$10 for the 2-pack?
Yeah.
We watched a lot of shit the last week. We watched No Country for Old Men.
Looks awesome on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I've got that one. I watched the North by Northwest, which does look great, but I'd never seen the movie before. And I was not impressed with the movie. I gotta say, I thought it was like, it wasn't horrible or anything, but like, you're like, what the fuck? Why is everybody like so insanely, you know, in love with that movie? I mean, it's a good movie, but it's not, I don't think it's up there with like a lot of the other Hitchcock movies, like Rear Window or Psycho or anything like that.
Well, it's like people always go on about Vertigo. And then I watched Vertigo and I thought it was ridiculously fucking boring and just,
yeah.
I mean, wasn't really that good of a movie.
Well, North by Northwest is well over like 2 hours long. I think it's like 2 hours and 30 minutes or something like that. And so much of it could be just trimmed down, you know.
Well, I don't know. It's just, I guess it's just our style, the kind of stuff that we like to watch just sometimes meshes with some of these older films and doesn't.
But like the Blu-ray transfer on that is amazing, though. I'll give it that. I mean, they did a great job. Because, like, the movies back then, there were a few movies that were shot in VistaVision. Like a John Wayne. There's a John Wayne one I watched not too long ago called The Searchers. And I watched it on HD DVD. It was shot in, like, the late 50s or something like that. My God, man. Because it just, the way they shot the movie, I don't know how they did it. But it just looks so, like, new. It looks like a new damn movie. But it's, you know, over 50 years old.
Let's see, though. What else do we have that Blu-rays that we got in? Oh, shit.
Oh, Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, we watched that one. Which, I don't know. I haven't really watched that movie all the way through in a long time. Probably since we watched it.
Yeah, that movie all the way through. I don't like it all the way through. Like, it's sort of like a Full Metal Jacket. I watched, like, up to a certain point, and then after a while, like, the stuff with Robert Downey Jr., like, I didn't really like him that much in that movie.
But I actually thought that the last time that we watched it together, I remember being disappointed in it. And this time after watching, I actually thought it was a lot better than I had remembered it from before. Just because I think there's like 3,000 edits in that movie, and there's like so much different shit going on. There's like animation and black and white, 8mm, 16mm, like all the different cameras and stuff they used in it. It's just such a visually interesting movie. It's almost.
Did you guys get the? Is it in a Blu-ray book style or is it in the regular case?
It had a 30-some page booklet.
It was like a 44 page booklet.
No, you seen the book, the Blu-ray book things? I think they released that in a Blu-ray book.
We just got it in a regular case.
But it's excellent though. Transfer to the Blu-ray.
Yeah, there's. I don't know if there's any other Blu-rays that I watched this weekend or not. Last weekend, I was mainly sleeping.
Yeah, I feel like we're missing.
We are several.
We're missing a lot.
We watch tons of shit.
Yeah, we have. For some reason, we've been watching a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out. Have
the Descent on Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's an amazing one too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I didn't know y'all got that.
I'd forgotten like how good that movie actually was too.
Well, the thing is weird, that was one of those movies that on Blu-ray, I think it improves the movie because there's a lot of stuff where that movie's so dark and there's a lot of shots where it's just black and red, you know, the way they shoot it. There's stuff that I think you can't see on DVD.
Yeah, because I remember when we saw it in the theater and even when we saw it on DVD and stuff that I was just so pissed off because of the action scenes. You can't tell what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, it's so dark. And the Blu-ray really helps it a lot. And it's a great Blu-ray, too. I mean, that's an awesome Blu-ray.
Yeah, it is really good.
And it's a shame that Neil Marshall's just went off the deep end.
The other one, though, yeah, Neil Marshall never made anything else worth a shit that I can think of except that. The other one, though, is Vanishing Point.
Oh, shit, that's right,
To watch that on Blu-ray, which is like, it's from 73 or something?
I can't remember the year.
Yeah, that was another one that they had at Walmart for like $10 or something.
It was like, we got it for 8 or 10.
Yeah, we got it real cheap.
But
that movie's awesome, though. I mean, if you ever sit down and actually watch it, that movie's really good.
What was the Blu-ray like?
It looked really good.
For an old movie like that, I mean, for a 70s movie, it looked really, really good.
It was, I don't know, I thought that the movie was fun. I like those car chase movies.
It's real, like, how do I explain it? Eccentric movie, though, about this guy that's driving across country in this particular car. And all the people that he meets along the way, and it's just, the characters in it are so fucking goofy, and so, like, it's such an exploitation film that I mean, you can tell why Tarantino referenced it so much, and like all his other films, like Death Proof and stuff like that.
Yeah, they talk about it well, at least 4 or 5 times in Death Proof. And
yeah, that's the whole reason why she won. The drive was a 1970 white Dodge Challenger.
Challenger?
Okay. Yeah, I think that was a 1970 white Dodge Challenger. That was really the reason why I wanted to watch it. Because I heard about it before, and then when I heard it in Death Proof, I'm like, okay, I really need to watch this movie.
Did you watch the Mr. Perfect DVD thing yet? I was kind of disappointed in that, actually.
I haven't had a chance to watch it.
It's barely over an hour long. And a lot of the, I guess at the time they made it, like, they didn't have a lot, like, Bret Hart wasn't doing anything with them, and they didn't have too many, I don't think they had anything with Bret Hart. But it was mainly just, like, his family talking about him and shit.
Who wants to hear from his family?
I didn't really. They did have some pretty cool vignettes though when they was doing the the basketball and the golf and all that stuff. They had all that on there.
I miss those.
They interviewed Wade Boggs on there, who was like supposed to be best friends with him or something.
Yeah, he did the
baseball
thing. Yeah.
But evidently they were friends long before that, which was weird.
Did you watch the McMahon one yet?
No.
I like to watch that one, too.
You can't watch any of them because Jess doesn't like that shit.
That's right.
That's true. She won't let me watch
them. I threw them all out the house.
Listen. Okay,
I burnt them.
Here's how it works. Here's the way of the hillbilly.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go.
What we like, you now like. You forget about everything post-Kentucky. Okay? Throw all you fucking Always Sunny shit away.
No.
Throw your Vampire Diaries or whatever the hell it is.
I like True Blood. It's not Vampire Diaries. I like
whatever.
True Blood. I do.
Yeah, you can still like it in your mind, but you just like what we like now. You like wrestling, boobies, and
you have black boobies now.
you don't know the way of the hippie, which means I don't have to listen to any of the shit that you say because I'm always better than you.
You can have the way of the hippie in Michigan. Here in Kentucky, it doesn't matter because it's hillbilly country now.
I think that you're used to women that listen to you and that do everything that you say, but that's just not how it works.
It is.
No, it's
that's
not.
That's the way of the hillbilly.
I think that you're sadly mistaken.
It doesn't matter what you think.
No, it matters. Everything matters.
No.
No. Your opinion is the one that doesn't count.
No.
You can sit there and say no all you want, but the thing is I know I'm going home feeling okay and that you're left here just thinking that you win and you don't.
I always win.
No, you don't.
Yeah. I'm the baller and the shot caller.
You may think that.
I don't think anything. I know it.
No.
Yeah.
You.
Where's your 3 belts?
What do I need 3 belts for?
Well, I'm the triple crown baller and shot
that
caller.
That matters?
Yeah.
It does not.
What do you think, Aaron? Who do you think's the baller and the shot caller?
I think you're both gay, especially right now.
Whatever.
Whatever you think is going to be bitching about this yet. Fuck you! I don't give a shit.
I bet you the only thing that they're going to be focusing on is, oh my god, she said she likes True Blood. Shit.
Probably.
That's probably the only thing that they're going to say.
Maybe. But at the end of the day, fuck them.
That's right.
No. Future stuff we have on the horizon with Dead Pit. I know this segment, we usually do reviews, but we... Like I said, the Mother Nature is shit on us once again. But we are going to have an interview next week. I'm pretty sure of that.
Maybe.
Unless another blizzard comes.
Which is supposed to, actually.
And we're working on other interviews. And we're going to really get back in the interview thing here because we've run out of shit to talk about.
True, yeah. The interview circuit, which is just ripe with all kinds of people that don't want to do interviews with us for some reason.
That's true. But we will, we will bring some interviews to you. I know one we're hopefully going to be doing on Saturday, so we'll announce that on the website, and we'll be bringing back reviews. I got to give you a DVD in there before you leave. You're going to love it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but anyway, it'll be kind of a brief episode of Dead Pit. But, hey, I thought it was good. And I appreciate Ken Daniels for unveiling John Carpenter, by God. What do you think of that? We can talk about that again briefly.
Yeah. I wish there was some way that we could... I wonder if he's going to be doing any kind of movies, like introductions to any of his movies or screenings or anything like that.
Well, you know he's going to be doing some of that shit.
Because I'd like to meet him and have dinner with him.
Yeah, let's
have a nice lobster dinner with him.
Maybe he'll be in our wedding. Maybe he'll be able to give me away.
Maybe he'll be in our wedding. Maybe he'll be the priest or something.
That'd be awesome.
He's not going to have dinner. He just smokes weed.
He has weed for dinner.
Yeah.
Give me a pound of weed.
I'd like a pound of weed. Bring the Xbox game.
Here you go, John. His wedding present to us is going to be a pound of weed. Shut up and smoke it.
Yeah, but I'm excited about Fright Night, and the Dead Pit wedding is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all excited about that? You going to dress up?
We're finally going to be married.
We're going to be married, finally.
Oh, no.
Yay.
You're going to... It's going to be from frost to fry.
Yeah, that's what it was. I never know.
Frost fry wedding.
I never noticed that.
People never knew this. Uncle Bill's last name's Fry. He's Uncle Bill Fry.
Uncle Bill Fry.
Uncle William Fry.
Bill Fry.
The Ballad of Bill Fry. Let's sing the Ballad of Bill Fry.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
You come from Sugarloaf. Long. They called him Bill Fry. He took it up the ass.
Oh, shit.
Almost every night.
For blue pills.
Threw it in there.
So... Everybody go fuck themselves. That's the end of the show.
That's a nice way to end.
It is.
Hey, listen, let's go fuck you, son.
Yeah, this is what happens to Dead Pit when, you know, there's blizzards.
It's hot in here.
That's true. On both counts. This is what happened to when it's blizzard, and it is very hot in here.
It's not that hot in here.
It
you
is.
You talking about it freezing when you came in here.
Well,
golly.
I was cold,
make
now I'm hot.
Mind.
I'm going through menopause.
Wake up your damn mind.
I am having hot flashes.
Yep.
You need some cotton cock.
Nope.
So
well, I knew a girl that used old cotton cock back in the Kentucky hills. She ran in a store and screamed for cotton cock. It gave her pussy some thrills.
Oh,
cotton cock, you'll always be the best for bloody pussy. Good old cotton cock, woo! Cotton cock in your pussy.
Ow!
Here on Dead Beer. .com, Sidley.
Fuck you, gay!
Fuck, it's hot.
Say you will, say you won't, make up your mind tonight. Say you do, say you don't.